Hello and welcome to One Rep at a Time, episode 5. I am your host Deepak, aka Chuck. Now, in the first week of this podcast, we have looked at some of the aspects of healthy weight loss. We have seen the importance of setting realistic weight loss goals, understanding metabolism. We have demystified whether we lose more weight in the summer. We have understood calorie counting a little better. And we cap off this week by speaking to someone who knows a thing or two about this topic of healthy weight loss. After all, he and his brother co-founded Cult and have been encouraging people to move ever since. And that's Rishabh Telang, my first ever guest on this show, One Rep at a Time. We talk about a lot of things, the importance of cardio and strength training for weight loss primarily, but also so much more, including his fitness journey and a little insight into how trainers program their workouts. All that on the other side of this.
Welcome to One Rep at a Time, a podcast from Cult Fit that encourages you to become a healthier, better, and happier version of yourself by building small, sustainable habits. Let's welcome your host, Deepak Gopalakrishnan, or Chuck.
Hello, and welcome to episode 5 of One Rep at a Time by Cult Fit. Each week, this podcast will have 4 mini episodes and 1 long episode. And today is that one long episode. All 5 episodes in a week revolve around a common theme. And this, the first week's, was around healthy weight loss. And to cap it off, I am delighted to speak to a man whose virtual workouts I've done several times, the co-founder of Cult, Rishabh Telang. Rishabh, welcome to One Rep at a Time. I'm delighted to have you as the first ever guest on this show.
Hi, Chuck. Thank you so much for the introduction and glad to be here. And I'm happy that the topic is healthy weight loss. I think it's very, very important that we talk about it. And let's just get started.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm all the more delighted because your philosophy gels with that of the show that we're trying to do. And I want to quote you from your quite excellent TEDx talk that you did a while back. One simple hack that you can follow to stay motivated is to set up short-term and realistic goals, which can be achieved in 3 to 4 weeks. And you continue later to say, more importantly, keep it interesting. I thought that was very cool because when we had the idea for the show, this was sort of the philosophy. And later when I was watching that show, it's almost like these lines resonated almost perfectly. So I think this is going to go pretty nicely. So Rishabh, just before we get started talking about the importance of cardio and strength training for healthy weight loss, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? What did you do before Cult? How did you get into fitness in the first place? I think that'd be a great place to start.
Yeah, I think I used to be an athlete much before when I was in school, and I wanted to make a career in sport. My sport was basketball, but that didn't end up happening, and I ended up doing my MBA and got a job. Worked with an FMCG company in sales and marketing for about a couple of years. Worked with with a technology company in consulting for about 4.5 years. But then the good part was when I was working in, you know, consulting, I was traveling a lot. And that's when I also started realizing that I'm kind of, I'm losing touch with my fitness because of the kind of life that I've been living for the last 4 or 5 years. And that's not the person who I am. And that's not the person who I want to be. So I knew that I have to do something about it. And the good part was because when I was, you know, I was spending a lot of time in Europe for my work. And I got exposed to some really interesting forms of fitness at that time. I also got exposed to Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu as a sport. And given that I came from a sporting background, that kind of worked really well with me, was fortunate enough to work with some really good coaches. And then having trained for a while, I competed again. I started weightlifting in a very non-traditional way. So not the weightlifting on the machines, but the weightlifting with barbell and bumper plates and kettlebells, mm-hmm. and all those, and, you know, doing Olympic weightlifting, doing powerlifting and working, you know, giving different sort of stimulus to the body. And that worked really well with me. I started enjoying fitness much more than what I did before. And, you know, if you see the classes in Cult, it's somewhat a reflection of the things that I'm talking about. We do have combat sports. We do have strength and conditioning and things. So since I started enjoying it so much, I started doing too much of it. I would just take time off and travel to Thailand and, you know, take 2 or 3 weeks, as much as, you know, I could afford in terms of financials and the time. So I would just spend that much time in Thailand and just train hard during that time. And I realized that, you know, I love doing this so much. I started getting deeper into fitness as a science. And then I was like, if I'm spending so much time, if I'm enjoying this so much, why not become a full-time fitness professional? I also had a lot of inspiration from, you know, facilities and coaches that I worked with over so long. And with that inspiration, I had some ideas that were probably not seen in India at that time. So it seemed like a good time to start a fitness venture with so much guidance from my coaches. And that's how then, you know, that was the idea. That's how Cult came in. And it was in 2015 when I decided to become a full-time fitness professional. But also before that, on the side, I started teaching some classes. I started working part-time in some gyms in different countries wherever I would travel for work. So been in fitness for a long time, but then full-time moved to it 2015. And after that, it's, you know, we all know.
This is fascinating. And what I like so much about this story is that, you know, you started from a point where you were, in a way, reflecting on the fact that you had gotten maybe a little lethargic or whatever the term would be at a certain point of time, and then you turned things completely around. And I think that itself is very inspirational, because I'm sure a lot of people listening to this would be in that same sort of situation. They're like, okay, like it's been a long time since I've worked out, and there is always an inspiration to take away from a story like this. And the second reason I asked you that question, because I'm sure a lot of people who are listening to this like me would have done your workouts and probably know you as the trainer, but probably don't know your backstory. So I hope this adds a little more color next time people work out with you as well. So let's get right to the topic at hand now, Rishabh. I want to talk about the importance of both cardio and strength training for weight loss. And I think let's start by defining what these terms are and what they actually mean for the body, if that sounds like a good place to start for you. So let's start with cardio. What is cardio and what happens to your body when you do cardio?
Yeah, so cardiovascular endurance, basically the term that we use, you know, scientifically, it's the, you know, so from an exercise standpoint, it's the ability of the body to do more work and the ability of the body to transfer more oxygen to the working muscle and the ability of those muscles to use that oxygen to get more work done. Cardio, it definitely happens to be one of the most important building blocks of your fitness. And when we design strength and conditioning programs, it's basically strength training and cardio as two important pillars of fitness. Right. Those pillars are built on the foundation of mobility and stability and also recovery at some point. So yeah, it happens to be a large part of what a fitness routine should look like. And in general, you know, terms we speak about muscular endurance, we speak about stamina, and we speak about energy system conditioning. And you know, in reality, it's the workout programming that's going behind the scenes to condition your energy systems, to condition your heart to be able to do more work, and to also condition your muscles to be able to use the oxygen that, you know, is being delivered to those muscles to support exercise. Running is a great form of cardio. Rowing is a great form of cardio. Even lifting, you know, light weights faster is a great form of cardio. Swimming is a great form of cardio. But then anything that, of course, gets your heart beating a little faster, which means that, you know, your heart's beating faster to provide more oxygen to the muscles. And then with time, your ability of those muscles to utilize those oxygen to get work done over a long period of time keeps getting better. And that's how, you know, that's what we mean by our cardio being improved with exercise.
Yeah, I it's fascinating. I always find when you break down fitness into what it actually means and does for the body, you are more mindful of the activities that you do. And that's really why I asked you to describe that out. Great. I think that is great. So now let's take the same question for strength training. What is strength training and what happens to your body when you do it? How is that different from what happens to your body when you do cardio, for example?
Yeah, so strength, again, another important, very important building block of our, you know, the way our bodies are designed to move and, you know, whatever we need to do on a day-to-day basis, the kind of things that life and sport would throw at us. And for all of those things, strength training happens to be very important. It's basically the ability of the body to move loads for whatever specific distances. So let's say I'm doing a deadlift, which means picking something off the ground. I pick it from a mid-shin length to my pick the barbell from a mid-shin length to just a little below my hip. And that's the distance that I'm moving while I'm doing a deadlift. And I do it for, let's say, 10 repetitions. I know what's the weight that I'm lifting. So I know I have lifted, let's say, 100 kgs for so many meters, so many times, right? So that's, you know, that basically, that's where it just gets reflected in an exercise sense. But then from a functionality standpoint, it's the ability of human body to do the work that we are supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
It involves the way that we are supposed to move in real life. For example, I'm sitting on a chair right now. When we are done with this call, I'm going to get up. And what I've done in reality is a squat, right? I got up from this chair and I just walked up to the first floor where I'm usually sitting in this office. So, you know, that's a squat. And then we in an exercise setting, so this is a functional movement, right? Because I'm doing it in my general life. In an exercise setting, in a strength training setting, I would be doing this when my form and technique is right. I would be doing this with some external load so that my body keeps adapting to the new
right.
That I'm giving to it. So the cycle is that I lift some amount of external load while I'm doing functional movements in a strength training setting, which leads to this is a stress to the body. And stress for short term is obviously good because that makes you stronger. Stress in the long term is a different thing, but stress in the short term, it's a good stimulus that our bodies need to grow. So I introduce that stress through lifting some weight, which my body is not used to yet, and which will of course lead to depleting my proteins and carbs and enzymes and everything. In response to that, to what's happening, my body will start to recover. And when it recovers, it actually becomes slightly more stronger than my last training session. So that's the idea. If you don't give it that stress, it is not going to get into that recovery zone.
Yeah.
And if your recovery window is not long enough, then it is not going to become stronger than before. So that's how we program strength training sessions. But we also, you know, as trainers, when we program these sessions, it's not just about doing things that you like to do. It is also going to be about creating balance in how you train. Mm-hmm. So let's say there is flexion and there is extension, and there is abduction and there is adduction, there is push, there is pull. As a trainer, I need to ensure that you're getting everything in the right proportion. And that is what exercise programming is, along with progressive overload, which is, you know, which I just told you. So there is a homeostasis, the normal functioning of mm-hmm. the body. My body feels normal. My hormones feel totally normal. And then what happens is there is a stress, which is weightlifting. So I become weaker. And then my body is going to release certain hormones that is going to help me recover faster. I'm going to eat certain type of food, which is also going to help me recover faster. I'm going to sleep 9 hours, which is also going to help me recover faster. But then all of that put together is going to make my abilities higher than the original homeostasis. So my new homeostasis is much higher, which means I'm stronger. Now what happens is, after my new homeostasis is higher, if I still train the way I was training before, then my body is, there's no scope to adapt because it's not even alarmed,
right.
It's not even stressed. So at that time, I have to stress it just incrementally higher. If I don't, then the strength training adaptation is not going to happen. So that's the idea of programming strength training workouts. But like you had mentioned in the beginning that, you know, from the TEDx talk, that it has to be interesting.
Yeah.
So again, that's something that needs to be factored in. While you need to repeat and progressively overload, there's also keep some window to keep things very interesting in your training so that you can keep, so that you keep looking forward to it.
Yeah, this is such a great answer, because not only did you answer the question that I had asked, which is what's the importance of strength training by itself, but you also gave us an insight into how you as trainers or programmers of these fitness routines are looking at things from a functional point of view, as well as keeping it an interesting point of view. So I think a lot of things for people to just think about over there. All right, so now, Rishabh, so we've looked at we looked at cardio, we looked at strength. And why is the combination of the two important? Like, what would happen if a person focused only on cardio or only on strength, as was a mistake that I had made at one point of time in my life?
So sometimes people end up making the mistake of, let's say, doing too much cardio.
Mm-hmm.
what happens is that because when you, you know, when you're doing cardio, you start sweating a little more. And a lot of time people would equate a good fat burning workout to cardio.
Yeah.
To sweat, sorry. But that's not the reality. Fat burn is a totally different thing, which I think we'll talk about a little later on this in this podcast. But then how much you sweat in a workout is not about how much fat you're losing in that workout. So, and people end up making that mistake because of this belief that if I sweat more, my workout is great. If I sweat more, I'm losing more fat. Mm-hmm. If I feel dead at the end of the workout, my workout was great. And all of those things, because of that, people, they really want to beat themselves up in the gym and feel drained out in the end. What's important for the body is to give it the right kind of balance. Now, you want to, I spoke to you about the functional, I gave you an example of getting up from this chair, and that's a squat. I may just want to, you know, play with my kid, which means I'm going to have to lift my child up and be able to, you know, do whatever.
Yeah. Throw them up in the air, cast them, and they come down. All those. Yeah.
Yeah. All those things I might just want to do. So all those things are very functional.
Yeah.
I'm playing a sport. I mean, in a sport, there is always emergency after emergency. I mean, those are not grave emergencies, but then you have to end up taking so many decisions, which is like just twisting direction and maybe just overtaking somebody, and there might be a little bit of impact, and all those things are there, and all those things require the right amount of strength. Otherwise, if you don't have the right amount of strength, then your body is shocked so much with the kind of stimulus that you have, with the kind of stress that you're giving it, that the ability to recover becomes that much more difficult.
Hmm.
And I spoke about getting higher than the pre-homeostasis. You actually start going lower than the pre-homeostasis, and that is the damage zone.
Right.
So if you don't have the right amount of strength, then you can't do all of those things with the kind of ease that you want to do. You want to, if you're sitting at home, if somebody rings the doorbell, you want to just get up and go and open the door. You just don't want to keep sitting there and, you know, waiting for somebody else to open it, right? And for me, that is energy. That is also strength, because strength is what's going to move, you know, your joints in the way you want them to move. Move your muscles in the way you want them to move, right? With the kind of energy and passion and everything. So strength, of course, is important. Strength training also leads to increase in muscle mass. When your muscle mass increases, and by increase in muscle mass, please don't get me wrong, it is not about getting bulky. It's also not easy to get bulky. I mean, I've been trying to get bulky for last many years. I've been trying to do everything to get bulky, but then it is not happening. So it is not easy to get bulky, but it's always good. It's actually great to put on some amount of muscle, because when you put on some amount of muscle, it means that at rest, your body is burning more calories than usual, because your muscles will need that many calories, you know, to process. So which is why building some amount of muscle mass, it's good. Strength training leads to increase in muscle mass. The same principle that I spoke to you about stress and recovery and everything, the same principle leads to increase in muscle mass, which, you know, in scientific term we call hypertrophy. your entire body weight is about fat mass and lean mass. So if your lean mass is higher, it means that proportion of fat mass is lower, so your fat percentage is lower, and that makes you look good, that makes you move well, that makes you overall healthy. Having good amount of muscle mass has huge correlation with longevity. So you are more active for a longer period of time as you start to grow old. So, and that's what strength training does to you. Not just this, it'll give you a higher amount of bone mineral density. So mm-hmm. which means that your bones are much stronger. And of course that, you know, people may not feel it when they're young, but then they need to do something to ensure that the bone mineral density is higher as they start to grow old. So again, it means healthy muscles, healthy bones, lesser amount of fat proportion in your body, and overall a much healthier and a much more energetic version of you, and much more functional version of you.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
When you talk about cardio, now I'm going to get up from this chair. I've done my squat, but then I want to also just walk up three floors up, go and have lunch with my colleagues right after this call. and that requires me to, again, show similar amount of energies. I want to go in the evening, play a sport, or I might like play with my pet or with my child. And I need stamina to do all of those things after a busy day of work. I need to be able to do those things also. And that requires me to have the right kind of energy and stamina and everything, and which is why cardio happens to be important. Now, when people make the mistake of just doing too much cardio, what happens is the opposite of what I told you, the adaptation of strength. They start losing. Cardio, it's not actually, I'm not trying to say that if you do cardio, you will lose muscle mass. But if you're doing too much cardio and not enough strength training, you will end up losing some amount of muscle, which is not good for you. If you're doing only too much strength and not giving the body the cardio that it needs, it means that you are getting stronger, but then you don't really have the stamina or the energy to do things that life and sport will throw at mm-hmm. you without really, you know, giving you a notice. So you need, and which is why you need good amount of conditioning as well. You also need good amount of conditioning to be able to recover faster from the workouts that you are giving, because, you know, your recovery zone is, if you have better aerobic capacity, then your ability to recover will be better, and which means you will get stronger, which means you will get faster, which means you have more stamina. So it's always in a balance. But again, depending on what your goals are, depending on what you like, we can always tweak things around. But what's important is that you are giving it enough, sufficient quantity of both.
Yeah. I think that's fascinating. Like, I really wish somebody had given me this advice when, long back, because I've been muddling around with like fitness for like a good decade before I found what I like to say structure. Like, in the sense, I was never unfit, but, you know, I'd just go to the gym and do things randomly, like, you know, just whatever catch my fancy. Then on weekends, I'd go and do these long cycle rides and feel very proud of myself for having done 100 kilometers in the Bombay heat. And only recently did I realize that it's a good combination of the both that's actually needed. And I've seen changes in my body happening in, say, 1.5 years, which I was frustrated weren't happening for 7-8 years or so before that. So,
break you there. But then the example that you gave, cycling 100 kilometers of the weekend, I'm sure to cycle 100 kilometers, you would have to put in a lot of practice cycling for the rest of the week. Now, what's going to happen there is cycling is a very repetitive activity, like any other sport, like running is, like any other sport. You're just working the same muscles again and again.
Yeah.
Now, when you do cycling, it's focused more on your quadriceps. So you will feel the burn in your thigh. You're also sitting, you know, with your abs slightly contracted. And what that means is, because it is very focused on your quadriceps, your glutes and your hamstrings are, they end up becoming more lengthened, and which means relatively weaker, because also your upper body is more contracted while you're, you know, holding that handle and you're doing it for 100 kilometers and many other kilometers in practice. It means that your abs are always contracted and your posterior chain, you know, which is the backside of the body, is always lengthened. So, and which is where strength training comes in to support that sport of yours. Now, what I told you is that your backside of the body is getting weaker, the front side is getting stronger because it's always contracted, which means that your strength training routine needs to ensure that you are get strengthening enough of your back muscles and you're stretching enough of your quadriceps and your abdominals and your pecs, so that you start falling into that balance, and then you don't have any of those posture anomalies, so that when you walk, or when you generally sit, you just have just random aches and pains, which a lot of us would have because of our lifestyle. So that's where strength training and structure comes into picture.
Yeah.
One level of structure is that you need to strength train, you need to do cardio. But then there is another level of structure, that what's the sport that you enjoy? In your case, which you mentioned, is cycling. And then how can strength training make you better in that sport? Not just make that sport better, make your day-to-day living better, because you don't have those random aches and pains, because your body has fallen into the right kind of balance.
Yeah. No, that's fascinating. I used to feel very proud of myself for cycling so long. And it took a while to realize that, hey, that's just doing that is not enough. Just having impressive stats to show off on Instagram isn't enough. You also need to do a lot of other things before that.
This is something that you should be proud of. 100 kilometers is not easy. Then you also want to do it for the rest of your life, right? You want to make it sustainable. And for that, this balance and structure.
Yeah, there we go. So, Rishabh, to come back to that, what would you say an ideal mix is? Suppose the average listener is doing, say, 5 workouts in a week, or has access to the gym 5 days a week. What would the cardio to strength ratio be? 2:3 or 1:4? Or do they mix it up within the same workout? Any insight on that?
Yeah, it could be. First thing, it's going to be dependent on the goals that you have. Ideally, you should be doing both.
Mm-hmm.
But then how do you want to split it? Depends on your goals. Let's say you want to, your goal is to improve your endurance, and you want to probably run a marathon, in which case we will have to condition your heart to be able to help you with your sport. And in which case, what I could, like, let's say your goal is to run a marathon and you want to improve your endurance. So in that case, you're going to end up doing a lot of running because you need to practice the sport to be able to, participate in the sport or on the day of the event. So what I would do in such a case, I would recommend that, Chuck, why don't you just, do your running 3 or 4 days a week, get all the mileage and the distance that you're covering, but do strength training 2 days in a week.
Mm-hmm.
And because you're strength training 2 days in a week, I would want you to hit full body, all your muscles each time you work out.
Right.
So you work out on a Monday, you do a great full body workout, an hour long workout. You work out. Then I would say that you take 3 days off strength training and come back on a Thursday. Because then by that time, it takes about 48 to 72 hours for your body to recover from the stress of weight training. So, and since you've worked out all your muscles, let's say I worked out only my upper body, then I can do my lower body tomorrow. But if you've worked out all your muscles, then you can't do anything tomorrow from a strength training perspective. So I'll give you 3 days of rest when your body is totally recovered by then. And then Thursday or Friday, you do another full body workout once again. And that's good enough for your strength training workout, because you're also doing a lot of cardio otherwise.
Yeah.
Now, this was about the sport. Now, let's say it could be for somebody who's not really training to run a marathon, or it's just for, general fitness, having a good body composition, looking relatively lean, feeling better and all of those things. In which case, my recommendation would be, if you like to weight train, I would say weight train 4 days in a week. Make sure that those 4 days give you all the balance. So what's also important here is that you're working all the muscles. You're not overusing some and underusing some, because that's going to lead to imbalance and that's not good for you. So if it's 4 days, you could do upper body, lower body, take a day off, upper body, lower body, take 2 days off, right? Now, depending on what kind of cardio, let's say you enjoy running as an activity, or you enjoy cycling as an activity, or you enjoy swimming as an activity, then I would say that the rest day that I've given you in between, why don't you do a low impact, low intensity, steady state cardio, which is like 40, 45 minutes of running outside, or 45, 50 minutes of cycling or rowing or swimming. But then keep the intensity slightly on the lower side, because that's the day that I've given you to recover. If you push crazy intensity on that day, then that impairs your
interesting
to recover, right? So that's where I fit in your cardio. Another opportunity for me to fit in some amount of high intensity cardio will be along with your weight training.
Mm.
So Monday, let's say you're doing an upper body workout. In the end, I give you a 10 minutes finisher sort of a workout,
yeah,
which pushes your heart rate into a slightly higher zone. Because one of the days I have given you a low intensity steady state, moderate intensity steady state, let's say it's a steady state workout, which means you can hold that intensity for 50 minutes, 1 hour. And so, which means you can't really go all out.
Yeah.
But then when I'm trying to club your cardio along with your strength training workouts, let's say you've already spent 50 minutes doing a strength training routine. Then I would say 10 minutes, let's go a little crazy and let's push your heart rate a little higher. And do out of those 4 days, 2 of the days, I would give you that kind of a workout in the end. So eventually, if you see at the end of the week, you've done enough strength training,
yeah.
You've done low to moderate intensity steady state cardio. You've also done, you've also given an element of high intensity interval training, because those 10 crazy workouts would have some interval. So I would want you to push, I would want you to take it easy, but then want you to push, then take it easy. And all of those things will push your metabolism much higher. The steady state cardio will work. The one that we did on the rest day, it's active rest, basically. It's not complete rest.
Yeah,
that will help in terms of improving your heart health overall, in terms of improving your blood parameters, and in terms of also helping you recover. It's also going to help you just improve your stamina and your endurance over the long run, and give you a lot of balance in your training.
Yeah, this is fantastic, Rishabh, because I mean, there are so many questions that I wanted to ask you in terms of structuring workouts, but you kind of like subsumed all of those into the previous questions that I was asking. And some of the things that you said have just absolutely blown my mind, that doing too much cardio, for instance, can actually be detrimental to your health goals in some way, or at least with respect to metabolism. And
So doing too much cardio could be detrimental, or doing too much strength training could also be detrimental if you are not recovering enough.
Yeah.
So if you're somebody who recovers, if you're spending enough effort on recovering, then you do 2 workouts in a day. I mean, I do 2 workouts in a day. I do a strength training, an intense strength training session in the morning, which is a combination of strength and hypertrophy. So which means I'm lifting heavier and I'm also giving enough reps towards the end. And then I do a steady state cardio in the evening. And I do this 6 days a week. And there's some kind of movement all 7 days a week. But then I also ensure that I'm stretching enough in the evening before I fall asleep. I'm doing my foam rolling. I'm also focusing on the right kind of sleep hygiene. I'm not wasting time on digital media and things, because then that impairs my sleep. I'm not watching too much TV and focusing on that, getting that 8 to 9 hours of peaceful sleep so that I recover. My nutrition's on track. Michael Phelps has written a book called No Limits. He's actually, this was his first book. And what I read in that book was, so he, of course, he trains.
I'd like to think so, yeah.
So he would train in the morning, give a really, really good strength training and a practice session, which is a lot of physical work. And then he would train again in the afternoon. Right, so these are the 2 strong workouts that he would give himself every day for many years. After the morning workout, he would just have his breakfast and sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And then sleep for a few hours, come back for the next training session. So what he's mentioned is that 3 hours or so of nap that he's taking between workouts is not a luxury. It is a necessity.
Wow.
Because he needs to recover. And if he does not, he will not be able to, sustain that kind of a workout for so many years and still keep performing at that level. Rafael Nadal has trained from the age of 6 until now, every single day. There is a lot of work that goes behind the scenes other than just playing tennis. If you saw the last Australian Open, after he won the finals, which was a long game. Like, I was glued,
mm-hmm.
For those 5+ hours just watching that match. And it was such a long, such an intense game. And after that, he just went in and he was cycling and doing that low intensity activity to flush the toxins and to buffer the lactate and all of those things, and that is for him to recover better. Mm-hmm. Right, so there is a lot of work that goes on the recovery to be able to sustain those kind of workouts. So training enough, training hard, training every day and twice a day, it's all good if you are recovering so your training and recovery have to go hand in hand, and that's how you plan. So now if you're somebody who's like stressed all day at work, if you're somebody who's having sleepless nights because of some sales targets, etc., which means you're really stressed, and then if you train 1.5 hour strength training, intense sessions on top of that, that is additional stress. So you have to just balance those things and improve your ability to recover from those.
This is fascinating. If you do an entire episode just on the importance of recovery, and we'd probably do that at some point during this podcast. And we've covered a lot of ground, Rishabh. And I want to ask you, and let's end with, there's a small section I want to do after this, but let's wrap up this little session on cardio and strength by just asking you, what is your favorite cardio and strength training movements?
My favorite, I love to lift weights. So I would strength train 6 days in a week. I just tailor around the intensity because I can't go crazy every day, but then at least 2 or 3 days I would be going a little on the lifting heavier and giving some crazy workouts to myself from a strength training perspective. My evenings are steady state cardio, so I would I would do an incline walk on a treadmill pretty much every evening. Right after my workout, I do super high intensity cardio. So that would be about 10 to 12 minutes of a high intensity interval training kind of a workout. That's my typical training routine. So I would do 3 days of workout, 1 day off, and followed by 3 days of workout. And that's the cycle that I follow. So training 6 days in a week. Some days in the evening, I also just play a sport, just play some basketball or play some football. But that just to because I like to play, but then eventually it just gives me some activity. I do walk a lot. I definitely walk early in the morning for about 20 minutes. And then I walk later in the evening for about 20 minutes. That's dedicated easy walk that I do. Morning also doubles up to give me a lot of sunlight, and that's really, really important. Yeah. So put together, a lot of movement. If I have to stack rank it, I love strength training and I love running. So yeah, these two.
All right, fair enough. Good old simple strength training and running. All right, Rishabh, to wrap up this entire bit, we've spoken about a lot of serious topics right now. So I just want to have a little bit of fun with you. I'm going to ask you a bunch of things and I want you to tell me whether these things count as cardio or not. Sounds fine?
All right.
Yep. All right. Cardio or not, walking while taking a work call?
It is cardio, yes.
Yeah, awesome. Fantastic. So anyone who has a work call, try to take it on call outside in the balcony or something that. Cardio or not, doing 10 jumping jacks every hour while working at a desk job?
Amazing cardio, it is.
Yeah, yes. Fantastic. Cardio or not, and this might be slightly personal, moshing and headbanging at a heavy metal concert?
It is, of course.
Oh, there we go. So for all of you guys in black tees, up the irons, get to a nearby concert and do your cardio late at night. Cardio or not, chasing your cat around the house trying to give him medicine? Things are getting a little too specific right now, I guess.
I think it's great cardio. In fact, I mentioned playing around with your pet it's great cardio.
Yeah, in general, yeah. Cardio or not, doing household chores?
It is. Yes, and a lot of your calorie burn is coming from non-exercise activity.
There we go. Finally, cardio or not, hosting a podcast? Possibly not.
I have something where I would say, it's not cardio.
Yeah, all right. That's, six out of seven isn't bad. Rishabh, this is excellent. Thank you so much for being a part of this. Any final words for those listening in?
Yeah, I think, first of all, thank you so much, Chuck. Love the conversation and I hope people find this useful. Would definitely love to do more of it with you. I think in terms of just one message that I want to give people is, we spoke a lot about getting structure in your training and about recovery window and optimizing that window and all of those things. They might sound very intimidating. They might sound something that, it's just not for you. So one, of course, you need expert guidance for that. You don't have to break your head on fitness as a science because that is somebody else's job and they've done a lot of study to do that. So you need expert guidance. And second, important for the listeners is don't stress over these things. Just move, do things that you like to do. Examples that Chuck was giving, chasing around your cat, and walking, just jumping jacks every 10 jumping jacks right after every meeting, etc. All of those things, just do what you like to do. If you like to walk, walk. That's a great, great workout. So just do things that you like to do, but make sure that you're moving throughout the day. You are active throughout the day, and don't stress over, you know, everything else that I was talking about. Those things are important. Let the experts handle it. You work with them to achieve your fitness goals. From your perspective, just be more active. That's it.
Perfect. Don't stress about these things. Stress your muscles, I suppose, would be a decent way to. All right, Rishabh, thanks so much. I'll let you go to the third floor right now and have lunch with your colleagues. Thanks so much for being a part of this. And thank you, everyone else, for listening in. We will have a lot more of these conversations with Rishabh, with other folks from the Cult team as well, and some external guests as well. We're really looking forward to this. We've got a great set of interviews lined up for you, conversations on fitness in general. So yes, Rishabh, thanks once again.
Thank you so much, Chuck. It was great talking to you.
Thank you. And there you go. I hope you enjoyed that and got a lot out of it. It was definitely eye-opening for me. Do watch Rishabh's TEDx talk. It's pretty nice. It's linked in the notes of this episode. And that's it for the first week and the fifth episode of One Rep at a Time by Cult Fit. It's all about sustainable weight loss, and I'd love to know what you guys think so far. Has it been useful for you? Is there something you'd like to see? Is there something you'd like me to change up? Absolutely anything at all. My details are in the notes of this episode, and I will see you here next week. Remember, like your exercise routine, take life one rep at a time. See you soon.
You've been listening to One Rep at a Time by Cult Fit. Follow us on Spotify, Apple Music, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you're looking for sustainable weight loss coaching, check out the Cult Transform program on the Cult Fit app or website. See you on the next episode.